You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang. You can't bang.
Let you
bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No, for God, Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a Brother MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with the Ween Dog.
What's up?
The Joe Perez, waiting for McCorkle to come in. Greg Wilson's feeling a little under the weather, so he won't be joining us. We got Louis Smoke on.
Nice.
It's going to be a fun show today. I'm excited. Well, I'm actually not in the best of moods, full disclosure. I came home, and my dog, I was outside, and I was like trying to do 500 things. Like, my wife is out today. Usually we have like a nanny that watches my baby during the podcast. She's on vacation, so I got to watch the kid all day. And then I had her – I'm supposed to do Brendan Fitzgerald's podcast next. So I had the baby supposed to be at this other person, at like someone else's. And then they said, oh, it's the kid's nap time. So then I had to like do 500 things. So I was like trying to juggle everything. And then I came home and I heard like whimpering from outside. It was my dog. I came in. He was underneath a chair and he couldn't walk. So his legs are giving out. He's blind. He's old. He's really old. So that so I'm in a rough. I think the end is coming near, and it's really, really rough for me. So
it's one of the hardest things to do in life. If you know, I don't know if you grew up with pets, but I've had pets my entire life, and having to put them down, or even just seeing them get old and, you know, sort of deteriorating physically, it's the hardest thing in life. Yeah. You know,
especially this guy had my back during a fight. And, you know, we're just, even though he's bitten everyone I know, and he's like the hardest dog to take care of. And he's like completely not like friendly or like trained and shits everywhere. And I wake up literally having to change my kid's diaper, stepping in dog poop.
Yeah.
So I still love the guy. Here he is. So hopefully, yeah, he almost bit me just now.
Yeah, my dog has back spasms, and in the middle of the night, she'll just like scream in pain. Like she sounds like a crazy demon when she screams, and it's quite frightening when you're awoken by it. It's just like, it's a pug. So pugs have like weird barks and weird growls, and they make weird noises. So it's a terrifying scream that she does at like 3 o'clock in the morning, almost every night. So
he can't even lift his leg to pee anymore. So he pees on himself. So I give him a bath every day. And my daughter, so cute, she runs into the bathroom while I'm giving him a bath. She's like, does he want Barbies? Does he want bubbles? My daughter is like so funny. My wife works from home, and every time she's on a Zoom call, we tell Violet, my baby, to go shh. We go shh, you know. So the other day, my wife is on a phone with like her boss and all like 10 people. She walks in front of the camera and goes shh to everyone on the Zoom call. And then the other morning, her nanny took her to dance class, and she tells the whole class, which wasn't even true, my mommy's working, my daddy's sleeping.
Oh, like, my God.
So the next day, everyone's like, oh, you were sleeping. Like, that's like the word in like amongst the moms and nannies. I was not sleeping. A little snitch.
Oh my God. Your daughter is so adorable, dude. You're so lucky that you have like a good looking child. My child is going to be so ugly, dude, because there's so much inbreeding that has gone on in my family, like on my mom's side, like the southern side. It's just my kid's going to come out with like five thumbs or something like that, or four eyes.
You actually know about the inbreeding? Are you being serious?
It's very likely. If you look at my mom's family tree or my family tree and go to my mom's side, they're like southern Alabama, you know. I'm sure there's some white hoods in my ancestry, dude. That's all I'm saying. So there's going to be some funky stuff with my child.
Your dad's Mexican. Your mom's white.
Yeah. Yeah. Got 100%. It. But my dad is super whitewashed. He's like, he can't speak Spanish. He looks like he sells oranges on the freeway, but he is extremely whitewashed.
So but anyway, I had a comedy show scheduled last Saturday. And comedy is like therapy. That's why so many comedians right now are falling apart, because really is our therapy at night. We make people laugh at night. We feel good about our lives. We give our lives purpose, meaning. It's like the greatest feeling in the world. We work on our whole life for it. Now it's, you can't do it. And I told my wife, I said, hey, I got booked an outdoor show. And she's like, just so you know, if you go to this show, you can't come to Christmas with the family because of COVID. Oh, no. And so it was a great show. I actually canceled the show. That was brutal. And then we're working on buying a house. But then even that, like, I think the deposit was too high. The mortgage is too high. I think my wife's too high for fucking agreeing to it. luckily, we actually got a contractor to come and see it. And there was so many problems with the house that we actually put a deposit down for. We're getting the deposit back, because like the garage didn't have electricity. It cost $20,000 just to get in it, to put it in there, just all this stuff. So yeah, we're house hunting still.
Oh, so you didn't end up getting it?
No. And then I took my wife's like, I'm like, listen, just so you feel better. That was gonna be our like Christmas gifts. She says, we're not gonna do gifts this year. We're gonna buy a house.
Then that's fair.
Then she gets me a gift. So now I feel like an asshole for not, because I know I'll be Christmas with her family, and they're like, she'll give me the gift, and then they'll go, oh, well, you get Brie, and I'll see nothing, and they gotta judge me. I don't feel like being judged again. So I actually got mad at this gift, even though it was nice for her to get me a gift. Like, you can't say no gifts, then get me a gift.
Yeah.
So
I think every girl does that, by the way.
So then I'm like, listen, all right, we're not getting a house, but I'll get you a gift. Obviously, I'll get you a nicer gift than I would have gotten you. Uh-huh. She's like, well, I want a Gucci purse. How much is that? $2,000. Like,
oh no.
How much is get a fucking house? Like I'm gonna live in the fucking Gucci bag.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is what I'm dealing with. Anyway, so the song Cringe Ass Henry is a big hit.
Big hit
on the internet. Super happy about that. That was fun. And like, it was so funny. Even the people that I made, because I wrote the song, and I Henry came to my show in Arizona, and he's a real nice guy. Like, people don't realize how nice of a guy Henry Cejudo is, because I was doing all these jokes about him when he was there. Like, when he won, he walked around like he was 5 feet tall. He goes into the octagon through a doggy door, you know, like just one after he goes to the ice bath wearing floaties. I just kept hammering him, and he was laughing at all of them, you know. And he's sitting in the front. He's a really good dude. Afterwards, I'm like, hey, I got this show, a song, I want to write it for you. Like, and he's like, I'm in. I send him the thing, and he's like, he writes back, what the fuck? He's like, this is hilarious. So I was super happy that Cejudo, okay, here comes McCorkle. So I was super happy that Cejudo, what's up, Sean?
What's up, buddy?
McCork.
So we were talking about, by the way, before this, we're talking about house hunting, and my wife, we're actually looking for a house now, and I was telling him that everything was too high. The down payment, the mortgage, my wife for signing it. But right before we went to get the house, we found there was like a contractor came, so there was like $30,000 worth of stuff we'd have to do after we even got the house, just to start. So we took back our deposit, yada, yada. Did you have that? I know you just bought a house. Did you have a problem with getting the house too?
I had a problem finding one that didn't sell within 12 hours of when it was listed. Like, because the housing market's so hot now. Now I'm actually selling my old house, and I have no doubt I won't be able to give it away, even though I've put $50,000 into it in the last 6 months. Like, I know that I won't be able to, like, I put all new flooring, everything you can imagine, really nice, make it really nice. And I have a feeling I'll be the only one that can't give away a house right now. But yeah, the house that we bought, I literally only had, I made an offer and got accepted within 12 hours of, her listing it. Like, that's how fast houses are selling here in Indianapolis, and they're selling for time and a half what they would go for 3 years ago. So,
but you can't sell yours. You're the only one.
I haven't listed it yet. I just know I won't be able to. Like, I know I'll be – that's how life is. I know I'll be the only one who can't give a house away right now. Like, it'll be the way it is.
Wow. So, I was talking about that. Did you watch the song I wrote for Henry, Cringe Ass Henry? Did you see the video?
What was it? Oh, yeah, that was awesome, man. That's I actually – I didn't know that Henry Cejudo knew he was so cringy. Like, I thought he – I thought he was extra cringy because he didn't know he was cringy. But the fact that he goes along with it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Oh, he was like so totally cool with it. It was a lot of, I mean, a couple of things I had to take out because he was like, well, I have nieces and nephews. I don't want them to see this stuff. It's a little too much, you know. But the thing about him, though, is that number one, like Volkanovski, who he calls out, he actually tweets out, I always wanted to be in a video. And O'Malley said it was fire, even though he called O'Malley a high train. Even the guys, like, he called out, liked the video and liked the song, which is pretty cool. You know, Henry's Henry got a weird
guy.
You know, I talked to Henry, and I'm like, you know, we were talking about him coming back and stuff, and he's like, he's enjoying retirement. And he's like, listen, I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know if the fire's there. And, like, I was like, I told him, I said, listen, man, the only one who needs to know if you should come back is you. Don't go back for anybody else. But obviously you don't want to look back in 50 years and be like, oh, I retired in like my prime. But it's you. You're the one out there, you know? And I think that a guy like him, you know, he won the gold medal in wrestling. He was a four-time state champion. He won two divisions. He's really never stopped working. At that level, even if you're 12 years old and you're wrestling at the level he was, that's still almost a job, even in high school. To be at that level, especially and in college and in the Olympics. So if the guy wants to retire, and I'm not saying I don't blame him. I'm just saying he's earned that. And look, do I want to see him fight again selfishly? Sure. But I don't want to see him fight if he's not all into it. You know, you kind of have to be all in or all out in like the fight game. And I thought when he first said I'm like retiring, it's just everyone thought it was like an act, but I don't think it's an act. Like, I talking to him, I'm not really sure he really, his heart's into it.
How ironic is it that whether he fights again or not, it'll still be a short retirement? That's all I could think.
But it's funny though, because I told him, I go, bro, after this song, you're going to have so many people that love you because you're making fun of yourself. And every other comment was like, I used to hate you. Now you're my favorite fighter. Oh my God. The world's not ready for you. We don't deserve you. This is like, he all turned him. Good for him. I mean, good for Henry. And, you know, I'm happy the song came out. The other one, Dominic Cruz and Phil Davis, did pretty well too, as BTS. It was supposed to be Dominic, Phil Davis, and Angela Hill. That was the band. But I had a whole, like, chorus on Angela and her afro and this and that. She was going to sing, like, the hook. And as I'm driving there, within 5 minutes, Angela Hill texts me, my teammate got COVID, so I have to go get tested right now. So it was like the band went from 3 to 2.
They broke up before they even were officially a band.
Right. And then Dominic walks in and he goes, listen, I don't get this. I don't find this funny. This is cringy. I don't want to be here. I'm like, we're off to a great start. Right. I really felt like I was coaching a sixth grader whose like mom was making him wrestle when I was directing him. Because I was like, listen, you're doing great. You've already won. Just give it your best shot. Try your hardest. And you know what? Dominic, he wanted to step outside himself, do something different, and he did. And I give him a lot of credit. And by the way, and then this hot girl I know is a comic who's like, I mean, a really hot comic hit me up when he was wearing that wig. And she's like, who's your friend? Is he single? So I'm like, bro, see, you're already getting the girls. This and
wow.
That. Yeah. Let's show you, women like you.
You're like, he's single, but we're still up there whether he's straight or not. So
Dominic, but the thing about Dominic though, man, is that he tells you exactly how he feels. He's one of these guys that, like, if he doesn't like you, doesn't respect you, you'll know it within 3 seconds. Like, you got to give that dude props for being one of the people. There's no bullshit with that guy.
How do you feel about his fight against Casey Kenney?
It's a good fight. I mean, I think that we're seeing a lot lately is these veterans out-schooling the new guys. And I think maybe that's what's going to happen again, because I like Casey Kenney and he's awesome. But look what Anthony Pettis did to Morono. Look what some of these guys that, like, I mean, look at Wonderboy did to Jeff Neal last week.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of these guys that are guys off the contender, they're kind of pushing to the forefront. Look at Cub Swanson did to Crone Gracie. He wasn't a contender guy, but like a lot of these veterans are sort of, they've been there. They've done that. Aldo to Vera last week.
Crazy.
So then again, look what, you know, Jacare happened to Jacare to what's his name. So it's not like a foolproof thing, but you know, these guys like Dominic Cruz and Jose Aldo, like they've been in there with the best guys, the very best guys in the world. And they at one point were the best guys in the world. So we'll see. I mean, what do you think, Sean?
I don't think Cruz is done yet, man. I know he didn't look spectacular in his last one, but I mean, who all has beat him? You've got Cody Garbrandt beat him. I think Faber way back in the day, but has anyone else beat him? I think he's still like 25-3 in here or something. I think he's lost.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. It's not like he's on a huge downslide like I was. But I don't think he's done yet. So.
Yeah, he's one of these guys also that's like, it's like his footwork. It's just hard to get a guy like to emulate what he's going to do. Now, Casey Kenney's an outstanding wrestler. He's, you know, he trains at the lab. He looked really good his last couple fights. So I don't know. That's a good fight, though. That fight I'm interested in. And also the Frankie Edgar fight that just against, what's his name? Edgar versus,
Corey Sanhagen?
Corey Sanhagen. Ah, man. I want Frankie to win. That's a tough one, though.
Very tough.
I hadn't even heard that. When did that get announced? That today?
Like yesterday, I think. So I want Frankie to win. That's a hard one. But if Frankie may be able to do what Aljamain did to Sanhagen, just take him down and submit him. I mean, you know, Frankie's wrestling is really good. I mean, really good. He doesn't always use it. But look at the Cub Swanson. He just destroyed the first fight. It was like 30, 25 almost. We'll see. I'll tell you what annoyed me the other day. I posted a video of me coaching wrestling, right? Sometimes I put these technique videos, and some people say, hey man, thank you. A lot of jiu-jitsu guys thank me because they don't get like wrestling in a very basic, like middle school wrestling, because it's so basic that it doesn't get taught sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes like you learn things at like level 3, but you didn't learn level 1 and 2. And I get a lot of people thanking me. But meanwhile, so Phil Baroni writes, you're doing it wrong. Or like, that's not how to do the move. You know, and I just wasn't in the mood. Like I was just having a rough day between my dog and my wife and my crypto being lost and yada, yada. I was just like, I'm like, you're right, Phil. I should have had them all do a cycle beforehand. Like, but meanwhile, like Mike Pierce and Austin Vanderford and Chris Weidman, Greg Jones, they all like say like, you know, great on the videos. And look, I'm sure the technique isn't flawless. I'm sure that there's things I could be doing. You know, I'm not like spending 24 hours a day on my wrestling technique. I'm showing middle school kids kind of the basics. But one kid was like, made a comment, and he was like a wrestler. He's like D2, D3. And he's like, laughing, like emojis. So I felt like DMing him, like, hey buddy, maybe you could, you know, provide me with some insight, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I'm like mad. And I'm like, what the fuck why am I mad about this? Saying it out loud, I'm like, what do I even care about? Like, but he made a comment and like, I've been coaching 12 years. My kids won. I got a kid that went D1. Like, I'm all like, I was a 4-time prep school New England champion. I'm like ready to like fucking, then I'm like, what? And my wife is like, how much TRT have you taken? Like, she's like, relax, you know, like, what are you? And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes this fucking quarantine is, it hasn't broken me yet, but sometimes like my bullshit meter is just, you know, I'm ready to sort of, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me, Sean.
What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. I start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're ready to be like I am every day before the virus online. I actually got into it with a lady today because I posted, like, there's some pictures and videos out there where these politicians are obviously taking either fake shots or, like, I know a lot about taking shots. And like one of them, the guy has the cap on still. When they give him the shot, he obviously has the cap on it still. Like, I know what I have one of those needles. I know what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so I post a picture like, hey, that he didn't take the cap off that when he took that. Some lady's like, oh, you conspiracy theorists drive me crazy. I'm an ER nurse, blah, blah, blah. So I immediately go to her Facebook page, and she's a nurse assistant and apparently lifesaver. I sent her because I'm banned from Facebook. I guess I'm done with Facebook. They just banned me for calling someone a retard who wasn't actually retarded. You know, like, I don't know. Like, it's like, I don't know. So they banned me for that for 30 days. And I'm not much for being put in the corner, you know, put in your Hillary Swank joke there. But like, I'm not much, you know, for being told what to just say or do. So I direct messaged her and told her, listen, lifesaver. Like, I didn't, because she's like, this guy's an idiot. What a conspiracy theorist. And blah, blah, blah. I said, I didn't say it was that. I just said that particular needle I know they didn't take the cap off of. And why is it every politician video I see is a needle I'm not familiar with? And she's like, well, how many shots have you given in your life? I'm like, myself, 20,000. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
with 50 different needles. And I've never seen those style needles, you know, so maybe it's something new. But yeah, it's I realized that when I moved now, I've got so much to do. I don't have any time to argue online. But I realized once I got down here how much time I was really spending arguing online. And it was most of the day. Like, it's, I don't know. It was a waste.
I always tell you, Sean, you're so funny. You're probably the funny person I know. Like, you're hilarious.
We gotta
like somehow channel it to a way to it can be effective.
That something constructive.
It can work for you. Yeah. Like, I mean, because you're such a funny person, and you're brilliant. But sometimes you waste it on, like, and look, I'm talking about. I was about to DM a college wrestler to tell him that my technique against with 12-year-olds was okay. So I understand where you're coming from. I get it, and I'm not throwing stones. I just think that, like, you're hilarious. Your writing is exceptional, but maybe start a blog or this or that or like something where like it's not directed at one person, you know, right? Because that's like your only audience. It's like if every day I just did my stand-up comedy for one person, like, right. Like, you know, which is actually a lot of times how it is.
Like, this is like Brendan Schaub.
Right, exactly. By the way, I talked to Mayhem in jail. We had a long conversation.
Nice.
He's having a tough time because he got COVID. I guess the whole jail got COVID. He said for him it was just like the sniffles. It was nothing. But one of his cellmates died from it, he said. But then now they have everybody.
Sure he did.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, that's what he died from.
I guess it was in the stab wounds. So he says he's locked down for 23 hours, 30 minutes. But he says when he comes out, if this is coming out in January, he wants to fight Jake Paul. So we have to get that fight going.
Feel like that could actually happen with Mayhem. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that could legitimately happen.
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to – right now I give the – I hate to say it, but I would tell Mayhem that I think Jake Paul might beat him. I mean, based on training, I think Mayhem would beat Jake Paul with like a month of training. Right, Sean? I mean,
you're talking boxing or MMA?
Boxing. And MMA, Mayhem would need no training. But in boxing.
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't know. It's so hard to tell with Jake Paul because he's against such bad competition. Sometimes you can look like Ali against bad competition.
Yeah.
I made a career out of that for my first few years of fighting, but I look like a submission wizard. But yeah, sometimes you look great against that. It'll be interesting. I don't think Jake Paul's a pro-level boxer, but he looks pretty good for a guy that ain't been doing it that long, man. Like, him and his brother both. They really do look pretty good. You can tell they're really training because they've got eye discipline. They've got, you know, the head movement. They got a lot of stuff going for them, man. So, and I think they're super athletic to start with, which no matter what anybody says, really, really helps. I played basketball in college, and our coaches used to tell us all the time, athleticism doesn't matter at all. That's 10% of the game. I'm like, then why is every great player super athletic? Is that just a coincidence? You know what I mean? Like, when a guy can jump over you and dunk on you, it's a lot easier than, you know, like, and they always bring up Larry Bird. I'm like, yeah, one guy ever that wasn't athletic was good. Like, one guy in the history of the game.
A guy who did nothing but take jump shots for the first, like, 20 years of his life, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But I think Mayhem could beat him. I think Mayhem could beat him. I know Mayhem could beat him. He was not taking it seriously. I think he would take it seriously too. I don't think he'd want to lose in front of the whole world. Mayhem Miller versus Jake Paul. If everyone's listening, spread that on Twitter, get that trending. Mayhem asked me to tell people to put that out there in the universe.
What should the hashtag be? Mayhem versus Paul.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll start that.
By the way, so let's talk about Wonder Boy, Jeff Neal. Wonder Boy is just one of those guys that, like I said, he's harder to pin down in a PS5. The guy is like,
wow, like, nice current new trendy joke. Nice.
So, I mean, he's one of those guys that, like, if you don't knock him out, you're gonna lose. It doesn't, because he's so good at defending takedowns, and people can't close the distance. The only way people beat him, except for Woodley, is to knock the guy out. That's the only way. And that's a hard guy to beat, is a guy that you can't outstrike nor find a way to take down or even submit. He's never been submitted, Wonder Boy. Thoughts?
Look at Anthony Pettis freaking knocked Wonder Boy out with a Superman punch off the cage, right? That was amazing. Yeah. And so that just shows you how good Pettis still is. But I looked at this fight kind of like how a lot of people were looking at Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. You have like this super high level technical striker versus a dude who likes to brawl. But the difference between Paulo Costa and Jeff Neal is that Jeff Neal is a technical striker, like a technical brawler. So this fight kind of went exactly how I thought with my educated MMA intelligence. But man, Wonder Boy is he's a great fighter, but he's still in a sort of pickle situation with how the rankings are in 170. You know, it's like everybody in the top five has a fight. So who knows? I don't know where he goes from here.
Also, nobody wants to fight him.
Yeah. Because,
and also, he doesn't excite people that well unless he lands like a spinning wheel kick. Like the fight that he won, as much as people want to say, like the tweets were like, oh, this is impressive, it really wasn't firing people up. Yeah. Like nobody was like, oh, that was awesome. It was sort of just like, okay, this is, I respect this and I appreciate this, but I don't want to pay to see this. Sean?
Yeah I think, man, I actually thought his career would go a lot like Machida's, not just because of the karate guys, but Machida had everybody confused at first and it was like, nobody will ever beat him. How's anybody going to beat that style? You can't take him down, can't outstrike him. And then once they seemed to figure it out, then he got lost several times in a row. And I thought, I bet against Wonderboy the other night, not because I don't like him. I just thought he would lose. And I lost, of course. But I thought he'd be done with the last couple performances. Man, I thought he was on his way out. But some, like him, Jose Aldo, some of them guys, like you said, man, some of the old school guys are coming back, man. And not that he's super old school, but he's been around for a while, you know? So it, I don't know. It looks like the old dog has a few new tricks anyway, huh? I don't know.
I think quarantine is also probably, not with Wonderboy, with some of the older guys, has really cut down on side chicks and side pussy. Right. So maybe these guys are more focused because they're less distracted. Were you ever single during your fights?
I think always, for the most part. Yeah, I don't remember ever having a girlfriend in a fight that I can remember. So I don't think it's just too hard, man. That's what's funny. I was going to start dating somebody before one of my fights. I don't remember what, but I started dating somebody, and one of my friends, Jeff Faberman, everybody knows him as Fabes on the Underground. He's a longtime MMA personality. No one knows how or why, but he's in on everything. Like, he knows everybody. Like he never fought. We don't know if he trains, but he knows everybody in MMA. But he told me one time we were somewhere and a couple of the ring card girls hit on me. Then one of the girls that worked there came up and gave me her number and all this different stuff. And I was like, oh, I've got a girlfriend. I was telling him, sorry, I got a girlfriend. And he told me that night. He goes, why would you ever have a girlfriend? I don't understand. He goes, why, like right now, why of all times would you have one? He goes, who wants that temptation and that, like, you know, that accountability where you got to call them? No, honey, I'm not going out tonight. I'm not this or that, you know? But then you also realize it's, the grass is always greener no matter what you do. When you're single, you want to be married. When you're married, you want to be single. And then no matter what anybody says, and this will make me sound super gay, but dude, that lifestyle of just random girls all the time and stuff like that, it is a miserable way to live, man. Like it is, it sounds crazy, but I've heard Mike Tyson say the same thing. Not that I was ever the whore on his scale, you know, anything like that, but like banging Japanese maids before his fights or things like that. But I just like that. Talking to five different girls at the same time, doing all that stuff, it's a terrible way to live, man. It gets old fast. Unless you're taking a ton of testosterone, then it changes your mind at least for a while.
But now, I know that sometimes if I would bomb really bad and I brought a girl to my show and she'd want to hook up later or something, even to make me feel better. Like, I just was, even the whole time, even during sex, I'm mad about it or angry. I was never, it just got to me, you know? Sometimes if I killed really, really hard too, the sex wasn't even as fun, because like the feeling of killing was actually better than it was. I mean, the sex was great, but killing is like a whole, it's very like euphoric. Did you have that where like after you lost a fight, if a girl wanted to have sex, you just weren't into it?
Yeah, I didn't want to. I was embarrassed to even talk to anybody after I lost the fight. When I lost to Stefan Struve, the first time I ever lost, I didn't go to an after party I was being paid to go to. I actually sat in Stefan Struve's room and me and him ate cake. He had birthday cake for some reason. It was the first time I touched a carb in a year. But I sat in there. I was ashamed to even be at the hotel. Like, because I'm thinking, no one's thinking that, or probably not. But everywhere I walk, I'm thinking, they're thinking, hey, look, there's that real big dude that got his ass kicked. So then I walk around for days with black eyes, or, you know, like busted face up or stitches. And people are like, man, I'd hate to see the other guy. And I'm like, no, he was okay. He came out pretty good on it. Like, he didn't have any marks on him at all. So I was unable to do any damage at all. But I hate losing. I would always joke around and act like nothing bothered me. But man, I cried like a baby every time I lost. Like, it's humiliating to lose a fight, man. Like, it, to me anyway, I was super competitive, even though I joked around, act like I didn't care all the time. Like, it really bothered me.
I can't believe you didn't get laid in Poland after being the strongest man.
Like, yeah, no, that's what, I was too busy being the new world's strongest man, claiming to be. But no, there was a girl that worked for ESPN over there that I pretty much chased the whole time, was hanging out with her the entire time over there. And Jay Silva kept telling me, bro, you're wasting your time. That girl just wants to hang around you because she works for ESPN. Like, she's just trying to get, you know what I mean, like famous or whatever. And I couldn't even get a hug goodbye after hanging out with her for the entire week. All day, every day, all night, every night. She'd come to my hotel, hang out or whatever. And I was like, well, I guess I'll see you never, because I wasn't coming back to Poland, you know? And yeah, she was like, okay, fine, I just left or whatever. But I wasn't like pursuing her specifically for that. But you would think, if she talks to you on Facebook for months leading up to you coming over there, you hang out with her. She went to the hospital with me when I dislocated my rib before the fight. Tom Erickson was nice enough to pop a rib out of socket of my spine 2 days before I fought Pujadowski the second time. Like, oh, just completely... God. He wanted to move around a little bit. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm kind of sore. I don't really want to. Next thing I know, he's grabbing me in a collar tie and pulls my head, and a rib pops out of joint. And so, like, I had to go. They couldn't put it back in. They just told me just to do my best, like, wrap it and do your best, you know, the fight. So that was, that was something else.
Hold that thought for a second, because I got some really, really good news, people. All right. The holidays this year are sure to pack a punch. And so, well, this weekend's UFC 256. As some of the sport's most respected fighters step into the limelight this weekend, check out DraftKings, an official partner of the UFC. How cool is that? Now, for this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. I could use $1 million. I'm sure you can, okay? So, DraftKings, if you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA, it's so easy to play. Just pick 6 fighters, stay underneath the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars all week long. Now listen, if MMA is not for you, okay, and sometimes it isn't, all right, you're listening to this because you're with somebody else, or you just, I don't know, you like MMA podcasts, you like MMA, whatever your thing is, don't worry, okay? DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy contests for all of the sports that have returned to action. And there's lots of sports right now. How cool is that? Plus, don't forget about football season, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs every week of the season. Here's your call to action. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code ROASTED to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code ROASTED, okay, to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Check it out, people. Check it out.
Well, a guy who's doing his best, coming off a huge win, Lewis Smolka. How are you, man?
I'm not going anywhere. Hey, Adam. What's up, dude?
What's going on, dude? How are you?
I am pretty good. I'm just waking up, getting my day started.
You're just—it's like 12:30. You're just waking up now.
Yeah.
All right. Good work. Good work,
man. I'm a piece of shit, bro.
Congrats on your last win, man. You know what? I always tell people, like, everyone talks about Chimaev or these other guys that look unbeatable. I'm like, well, I want to see what happens when they face adversity, because That's when you know if somebody's a really good fighter or not, when they can lose the first and come back in the second. And that is exactly what you did, man.
That's what I always do.
I was so happy for you, man, that you able to figure out what went wrong, what you can do, and come back and win. How good did that feel, by the way?
It felt pretty good, dude. I was pretty hyped. We did it like kind of according to game plan. Like, we kind of knew he'd move around, bounce around a lot, did some training with Dominic Cruz and stuff. I think he played soccer too. So like, he's got like a lot of bouncy footwork and stuff. Hi, Lucy. What's up? You just waking up too?
I saw the screen on the new TV, and then I trip over.
Okay, honey. Don't trip over it again, okay?
Okay.
All right, okay. Yeah, sorry. So, like, he trained with Dominic Cruz, and, he's got, like, a soccer background, so he moves around a lot, and, like, we kind of noticed that he did slow down after the first round, so we knew he'd come out, like, move around a lot, bounce around. I thought he was gonna come out southpaw though. That kind of threw me off. He was usually running like the mirrored stances, like, so he fought like Carlos Huashin, or however you say his name. That dude is a shorter southpaw. Tecco fought in primarily orthodox. Then he fought Joey Gomez, who's like a taller, lanky orthodox fighter, and he fought him primarily southpaw. So like, we just assumed he just liked to run mirrored stances against people, so I thought he would come out southpaw against me. But yeah, like, it was a little confusing, but you know, we figured it out, and I was pretty hyped, dude.
It was crazy. Did you watch the replay?
Yeah.
What's crazy is that, like, while you were submitting him, the announcer were talking about something else. They were like, yeah, yeah, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, on the screen, you took the guy down and you're choking the guy out. I'm like, hey guys, why don't we talk about the fact that this guy's about to win a fight? I mean, wasn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, they're over there talking about body shots. I don't know, man. They were just off on this tangent. I don't know if they knew what was happening. It happened pretty quickly. I grabbed him, threw him, and went straight to mount. And, like, I don't know if they realized exactly what happened.
Yeah. I'm like, hello, the fight's over, and you guys talking about, like, body shots for the first round. It was crazy. But I was super happy for you, man. By the way, it's nice seeing you, because I knew you back in the day when you were like this wild, single, wild man. And it's so nice to see you as this family guy. You know, you're like always plugging these like waters, and you got the little baby, and I remember your wife was a battle rapper when I met her.
Yeah.
And now she's like a Hawaiian tropic model. And now she's a family woman. It's nice that you guys have evolved into this like beautiful family.
Yeah, man, that's life, dude. Everybody gets older. Times change.
Does she still ever battle rap for you or no?
No, she doesn't. She's got some bars. She like writes and will like pull it out every now and again, but not in the actual battle rapping. Like, I'll try and rhyme at her sometimes and she'll just get mad at me.
So let's talk about some of the fights last week. Did you watch the Aldo versus Vera fight?
Yeah.
You train with Vera, right?
Yeah, I train with Cheeto.
What did you think of that fight?
Man, I thought Aldo just found the timing first. Like, Cheeto was doing good. I think he won the second. It was just Aldo found his timing fast, dude. Aldo is really good. Can't take anything away from the guy. Just adjust next time. One thing that I thought was wild was that he crossed his feet when he was in the turtle position, like standing. I thought that was wild. I'd never seen anybody use that, because, like, you know how most people will shake you to like unsecure the hooks? He crossed his feet on the back to like secure it better. I'd never even seen anybody. I don't think I've seen anybody do that before. That was wild.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I know we got a little girl here, but what do you think about Vera's at the end gestures? That was a little, I mean, it seemed like it was a little strange, right?
Yeah, dude. No, he's probably frustrated, man. That guy works super hard. He's always trying to win, you know? That guy works really, really hard. He's constantly doing something. He trains smart, but, like, he puts all his, like, energy into it. That's all he thinks about is like, how can I get better? How can I, like, what's the next thing that I can do? Where do I need to improve? So, like, I could see him being a little bit frustrated from that.
Sean, is that what you thought about when you were fighting? How can I get better?
No, I was thinking how can I get less tired? That's all I was thinking the whole time, entire fight. Like, how can I get the next breath? Because I would be exhausted. I found out no matter what kind of shape I was in, I was exhausted 2 minutes in, no matter what. So it didn't matter.
Well, let's talk about Greg.
Crackheads can fight for all these 2 minutes.
So that brings me to Greg Hardy, right? Because everyone's now jumping off the Greg Hardy bandwagon, saying he has no jiu-jitsu game. Not, I'm like, the guy was exhausted. When you're exhausted, I feel like all your games go out. Whether it's wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, when you're like that tired, it just doesn't matter how good you are. You can't do anything. How do you, if you're Greg Hardy's coach, how do you get him to not gas himself out after the first round? Smoke
him. Cardio is a skill, man. You got to like kind of reserve. You always got to keep a little something in the tank so that you know you can move again and breathe. You can't just go for broke. It's not football, man. You can't go for broke and then they'll give you like 10 seconds to recover. You know, you gotta kind of leave a little bit in the tank so you still can make another move. You can always like do something else. I don't even know if Greg Hardy even trains on the ground. I'm gonna be honest, dude. I don't even know if he watches MMA like in his own time. Like, I'm gonna be honest, bro. He's over here, dude. He needs somebody on the ground. He's over here using an inhaler like between rounds. Like, that's stuff he can't do, man. Like, has he gone? Has he watched like the old footage, you know, the archives? Has he gone through UFC 1 through like 250 or wherever we're at right now? Like, has he done all the work? Has he followed it? I don't think he has. I don't think he knows what's going on. I swear to you, I don't. I think he's just like, yeah, I can hit hard. I can go out there. I can punch these guys. I'm an athlete. And that's like as far as he's thought it through. Like I'm like that's the impression I get.
Sean?
Yeah, the one of the best things that ever happened to me, even though my coach ripped me off for a bunch of money, the jiu-jitsu guy I started with, a Brazilian guy, he always made me start on my back in every situation, even against more experienced or bigger guys or whatever. And he said that you'll always be okay on top. It's when you're on bottom that you're going to have a problem, you know? He said that's the thing, and I always start on bottom. So I got to the point where I was almost more comfortable fighting from my back, or at least grappling from my back, than I was on top because I spent so much time there. But I think the guys, everybody wants to be the hammer, but nobody wants to be the nail. You know, that's where you run in with Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. sparring with guys. I know somebody, I don't want to reveal his name, but it was Pat Barry, told me that they went and they told him, hey, only go 20% with Brock. We want to build his confidence. And Pat's like, that ain't going to do him any favors when he gets in there with somebody who's trying to hit him for real, you know? And they're like, so Brock's beating him up in sparring. They're paying Barry to spar with him, but Brock's beating him up, thinking he's a world-class striker because Pat's going, you know, a quarter speed. So a lot of guys don't like to take the beating and don't like to, and a lot of guys, like he was saying, don't they just find out they're big, athletic, and can make some money doing it. So they don't really, weren't necessarily fans or weren't necessarily even wanting to do it. Matt Mitrione always said he was never a fan of UFC, didn't care at all. He just found out he was pretty good at fighting naturally. So it's better than working a job. So,
but he lives with, like, I think that Dean Thomas opened up his own fighting house. It's like the real world for fighting. I'm not in like Florida with like Juliet Robertson and Greg Hardy and a bunch of, I think Shorty Torres. I think these guys all live there. I mean, he obviously, like, his coaches aren't gonna let him go out there if he doesn't know what he's doing on the ground. I mean, I don't think they're gonna do that. So I don't know. It did look like that, though. I'm not – Smoker, you're right. It did look like that. I can't believe that would happen, though. But it did absolutely kind of look
What's
like
crazy
that.
With Greg Hardy is he makes about $200,000 per fight in the UFC, and he's like a prelim fighter. And I know the UFC is coming out with a bunch of cuts by the end of the year. I don't think they're going to cut Greg Hardy because he's a big name, but it's just very interesting that, you know, he's making that much money and – he's not that great of a fighter in the first place. He's a great knockout fighter, you know, knocks you out in the first round, but it's very interesting. And I can't believe they had him as a favorite against Marcin Tybura, dude. I want some money on that fight, but I don't know. Very interesting.
You know what? I give him credit though, because he lost and he said, listen, you know, I'm like new to this game. I got a lot of learning to do. I have to go back to the lab. Whereas like Jeff Neal, who I like Jeff Neal, but he said, I'm not going to make excuses. Wonderboy put a great fight, but I came in here with this and that and this and that and all these things wrong with me. Like, look, I understand that a lot of times fighters say that to themselves, and that's why they say that, because they can't deal with losing. And it's almost like you're telling that to yourself, and I could do that all day too. I go, well, I bombed because, look, the crowd sucked. They didn't speak English. None of them knew who I was, whatever. The guy before me was too loud. They wanted clean jokes. I went on first. I could give 100 reasons. At the end of the day, though, it's like my job is to kill, and their job is to win. And I don't think you're doing anyone any favors by telling people why you lost, as opposed to just, you know, keep it moving. I mean, Lewis, is that what you do whenever you lose?
It's a little bit of both, you know, like you got to kind of like figure out really why did I lose and like make the adjustment. You can't like just sit there and blame the whole thing, because like you shouldn't blame it on like, oh, injuries or this and that, because if you're that fucked up, then you shouldn't fight. You know, if you didn't really have a good game plan or you couldn't come in there and like actually execute something, you probably shouldn't fight. But at the same, I don't know, at the same time, some people need money. I don't know. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm not in his position. But for me personally, I try to like assess it in two ways. Like, I'll do the mental gymnastics thing and tell myself like I'm the man. But like at the same time, you do need to make technical adjustments if you lose.
Right. Why are Hawaiians?
I always liked the way Cain Velasquez handled it. Like when he fought Junior Santos the first time, he had a torn ACL and MCL or something like that. And Cain got mad that anyone let that out of the gym. He said, I should have been in there if I wasn't healthy to fight, you know? And then he gets knocked out by Ngannou. Everybody thought he tore his knee. He goes, no, I was out. Like Cain is the manliest man ever, you know, like, or whatever. Like he just admits it and doesn't make excuses. Cause I used to think he was unbeatable. And then like we were talking about cardio earlier when he lost to Verdum, on cardio or whatever, it just showed how much cardio is important, you know, in fights. But yeah, Cain is not an excuse maker, man. That dude, I think still the best heavyweight to ever do it in his prime.
So who's more of a man, Cain or Don Fry?
Oh God, man. I think the universe would implode if we had that contest. I don't know. I don't think it's like when an unstoppable force hits Don Fry's mustache.
Like if somehow they figured out a way to have like people, you know, man and men that have babies, they got to breed those two, because that kid will just be like, either the most feminine person ever or just the most masculine. It's either, you know,
he'd rebel and be super feminine and clean shaven.
That was one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard.
As hell. He's just jacked.
Oh yeah.
One of the funniest jokes I ever heard was when Damon Wayans talked about how he's like, you know, Magic Johnson has like, his son is like super gay, like just like beyond, you know. And he's like, it must have been hard because Magic is like this manly man guy. And he would say things like, he'd be at a party, be like, hey, you know, I'm Magic. And his son would be like, and I'm Voila.
Dude, there was this kid at my school. I used to go back and help with wrestling, right? And this kid was the wrestling coach's son. And he was like this big Samoan kid, but he was pretty gay, but he would fuck people up, dude. He was like a heavyweight. He was just wrecking people, like doing like these twirls around them and throwing them. Wouldn't make grades though. Would not make grades, but like the tournaments they let him in, he was just crushing people. It was wild.
I know there's like gay boxers. I think there hasn't been like an out MMA fighter. I think there's a gay MMA fighter from Canada. Somebody DM me, but like somebody who's like just beyond, because that would be hilarious.
We actually had one at my old gym too. I had one that like he ended up like coming over or whatever. He left like another gym and ended up at ours, but. Yeah, dude, we actually had like an outwardly gay, like an openly gay MMA fighter.
That'd be awesome.
The first one I ever heard about was, I think he's from Colorado originally. He was on like Tough Tim. I think his name was like Schwab, Brandon Schwab or something like that. I don't know. Like, it was,
look, there's nothing wrong. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for gay people and great for the sport. I think it would be great for everything. Because most sports, I think it'd be awesome. I'm all for it.
Do you want to fight that guy?
Who cares? Who gives a fuck? I don't want to fight anybody.
That one fighter who won via slam, he's pretty close. Who did the dirty dancing thing at the end?
Oh, yeah, that guy. Right, that guy's awesome. The monkey god or something.
Yeah,
I'm trying
to find his name. I forgot. It's like
the guy. The guy just splits.
What about Dakota Cochran? He was on the Ultimate Fighter or something, wasn't he, for a little bit. But
Yeah, he was just gay for pay. He's in he's in, by the way, that guy Dakota is 4-0 in bare knuckle boxing, and he knocked out Johnny Hendricks. He beat Chris Lieben. He's fucking everybody up in bare knuckle boxing. That's his fuck. He's like the Michael Jordan of bare knuckle boxing right now. Nobody knows. Like, good for Dakota. He actually came on the podcast and asked me to not bring up the gay porn past. And I was like, yeah, right. He did. I was like, absolutely, man. I'm not gonna. First of all, I was making jokes about it when it was going on. I'm not gonna make jokes about 10. I mean, it was kind of fun. I mean, just, you know, the rear naked choke. There's all kinds of just like subtle.
That's like doing an interview with O.J. Simpson. And say, you're not gonna bring up that whole murder thing, are you?
No, I think it's a little different. I was like,
hey, you said he's the Michael Jordan of bare knuckle boxing. People have often called me the Michael Jordan of having my father murdered at a highway rest stop.
This podcast is taking a weird turn. So it's a very strange turn. Anyway, all right, what are we talking about? Anthony Pettis, by the way, another guy. These veterans are turning back the clock. They're not ready for Bellator yet. They're like, fuck it. They're staying in the house. They're not ready to get kicked out. And Pettis looks great against everyone who's not ranked. Everybody like who's like five and over, even rank five, he's kills them. And then he kind of has struggles against like the top three, four guys. But he said he quit marijuana and he quit drinking. And it really showed because damn, like
he looked more ripped. Like, honestly, like the first two times at 170, he had a little pudge. And then now this time he was kind of more ripped.
Yeah, no, he looked better. He looked good for Pettis, man. He's always a class act, that guy. And then Darren Wynn, that guy should be fighting at 125. I mean, he's like 4'11", but he's a monster. I mean, he's a monster wrestler. But meanwhile, you can tell he's Cormier's boy because he was clearly getting the shipping out of him in round one. And then Cormier's like, it's a pretty close round. I'm like, no, it was not a close round, dude. That's your friend. Like, come on, man. Like, let's call, what are we talking about here? But he came back and won. He looked great. Good for him.
I hope he just beats everybody in that division, because can you imagine him versus Israel Adesanya? Freaking 6'10" Israel Adesanya versus 3-foot Deron Wynn. That'd be amazing.
He keeps getting shorter throughout this podcast. It's like, could we imagine like Adesanya versus sperm? Fucking anyway. So, by the way, Jillian Robertson, I like Jillian. She's kind of hot. Like, if you look at her Instagram, she's.
You probably just like the red hair. You're probably into redheads.
Me? Yeah, probably. But she's not bad. She's a hottie. She's not Hawaiian hot, but she's hot. So, by the way, is your wife Hawaiian?
No, she's Japanese and Okinawan. Oh. Which is the same thing. Just don't tell her that.
Yeah. That's weird. That's like, oh no, she's American and Michigan. But yeah. That's Japanese and Okinawan. You really, is that how she goes?
Yeah.
But you guys met in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Nice. What was you doing there?
We both grew up there. She's like fourth generation from Hawaii. And then I'm like first. So like my mom is from Japan and my dad is from Utah. My dad did like the whitest white guy thing ever and went to go teach English in Japan and came back with my mom.
Dude, like those guys who go to teach English in China and Japan, they clean house out there. They have the hottest Asian women. That's a really good, if you feel like a five or a six in America, teach English in Japan, because you'll get a girl way out of your league. Ween Dog, there's hope for you.
Did you just call his dad a five or a six?
Yes. Yo, but hey, but he's getting it though.
Of course. All
that I'd be proud of him, man. I'm proud of my dad.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. So good. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you know, what's going to happen with your girl, Rachel Ostovich?
I don't know. Bellator, bare knuckle, fight Paige. I don't know.
I like that.
I don't like bare knuckle for her. I don't want these girls that are smoking hot to go bare knuckle. I mean, I don't know. Call them up. I'm like, but I asked Paige about that. She said, and about her boyfriend, her husband. They said that women don't hit that hard in bare knuckle. That actually, she's not worried because there's been like no knockouts for the females. Like a female's never been knocked out.
Yeah, so you're gonna stand there and just get false, dude. Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
the exposed knuckles, I feel like they cut worse than the gloves. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what's messing them up. Like is the sharp parts of the knuckles.
I agree.
Anybody that says women don't hit that hard bare knuckle have not been hit by the same women I have been. I've been punched by my last five girlfriends. So,
what about your current girlfriend?
She hasn't hit me yet, but I'm sure it's coming. It, apparently, like, I can be really irritating in arguments, and I don't, like, I can make typically nonviolent women pretty violent. So, yeah, she hasn't hit me yet, but I know it's coming. I'm sure I'm going to say something that's going to push her over the edge at some point. So,
I had my,
maybe I'll call her dad at 4 or 5. So,
my wife threw a sandwich at me one time, like at my head, and then later I was like, I texted her, did you eat that sandwich you threw at my head? And then like, but I kept making it worse. Like, you know, I could have died. And like, I found like articles, people who like died from food being thrown at them. So just people like I said, maybe like tried to kill me, like just exaggerated the fuck out of it. Just a, you know, guilt trip her. Did your wife ever throw anything at you, Lewis?
Babe, what do you want me to say here? No, she hasn't really thrown anything at me, like, seriously. Like, she'll get annoyed with me because, I mean, I am annoying. And yeah, she'll, like, throw stuff at, but not like, serious, no.
That, yeah. Ween Dog, your girl?
No way, dude. She shoots me with Nerf guns, but that's about it.
That's normal. Yeah. All right, so did you watch The Mission Underground?
I did.
You guys watch it?
Yep. It was interesting with Chael.
Lewis, Cowboy beat RDA.
Yeah. So it was so, first of all, Chael does a great job being the only commentator. Like, man, that guy can talk. But first, they had Anthony Johnson versus Bader, and Bader overpowered him. I don't know what Bader's been taking, but Johnson needs to get on whatever he's on, because Bader was bullying Johnson around, which was crazy. And then Bader won, which I'm still not crazy about it, because it's like they all go to, every fight goes to overtime, and whoever escapes the quickest wins usually, which I'm not, it just seems a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, now Bader and Anthony are even. I'm like, let's slow down a little bit. a guy knocks you out in 10 seconds for money in the UFC. It is not the same as winning in Submission Underground by escape, by quicker escape. Let's calm down. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what, 1-1? Like, really, guys? We're really going to say that with a straight face? Like, why don't we just have play checkers to do the fucking, the and see who wins that? And then whoever wins in checkers, come on.
Hey, dude, I was trying to, when I was at 25, I was trying to play Demetrius Johnson in the UFC game for the longest time. And I was going to be like, yep, that's going to be my first, like, little mental victory. I'm going to get that one little one. And it's going to be the chink in the armor.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. It's a kind of a shame that they traded Johnson for Ben Askren. Nothing against Ben Askren, but Johnson, like, I feel like he's been kind of wasted in 1FC. Like,
Ben made more money getting knocked out by Masvidal. He made more money for the UFC doing that than DJ made his whole career now.
He made money for the UFC?
Yeah, made more money for the UFC.
By having that. Yeah, yeah. No,
creating Masvidal into the star that he is, that's generated more revenue than probably DJ has his whole career, honestly.
I can't believe how good of a sport Ben is. By the way, for the MMA awards, we couldn't film it because I did that. You see the video I did with Cringe Ass Henry? You watch it?
I can't watch those, dude. I can't.
Look, no, watch
I,
this
I,
one.
I can't watch it. I can't do it.
It's a music video. Instead of
I whatever. Know it is. I've seen it everywhere. It's been everywhere for like the past 3 days.
And you haven't seen it? I wrote it.
I won't. Come on. I'm not watching this.
I wrote it. Come on, dude.
All right. I'll watch it.
But what I wanted to do was I wanted to have Ben Askren as the guy, you know, that guy who's drinking cranberry juice while he's like singing Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have Askren do it. And all of a sudden he gets flying knee out of nowhere. That was my other idea.
Should have had Cub Swanson do it. You wouldn't have been able to tell the difference from the original video.
But Cub already did it. Like Cub actually.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah. He looked just like that. I just thought Ashton getting all of a sudden he's doing it, and then all of a sudden a flat, you know, he gets, but we couldn't get to Wisconsin because of COVID, the whole thing. So I can't believe you can't watch. Your girl was a battle rapper, but you can't watch my.
I'm not watching cringy ass, dude. I can't take anything Cejudo does seriously. Like,
why don't you like
Cejudo? It's the weirdest thing, dude. He's such a weirdo, bro. He's just like, he's been an Olympic guy for so long. So he's like appealing to like he's got to keep it PC and all that, or like PG-13 or whatever. But God, it's annoying.
I think you'll like this one though. This will change your mind on him. Trust me.
All right. Why does he? I got bars. You got bars,
dude. I got more bars than War Machine. Okay. All right. So it got announced that Mackenzie Dern is taking on Nina Ansaroff. But by the way, so back then, so Cowboy beats RDA, and he tapped kind of. He would have won anyway. And then next thing I know, 3 minutes later, they're like, oh. They went to the judges. They're replaying the overtime because it was a bad officiating. They did it again. And then he tapped him even quicker. the whole thing was fucking bizarre. Like, super bizarre.
They should do that in MMA, dude. Just restart the fight after, a couple fights happen.
But, I mean, you got to factor in that sometimes the refs make bad decisions. You don't just, get to the do-overs. So, Mackenzie Dern taking on Nina Ansaroff. Nina just had a baby with Nunez. I don't know how that worked out or what the math was there or the science, but great.
It's a miracle.
So
the same way that Don Fry and Cain Velasquez worked. The same, just inverted.
Yes, exactly. But I think Nina gave birth. Nina was the one
yep.
that.
Yep.
So she's fighting Mackenzie Dern. She looked great her last couple fights, even against Tatiana Suarez. She gave Tatiana her toughest fight to date. Actually won the third round, I thought. Who wins? Mackenzie Dern or Nina Ansaroff?
Dern all day.
Dern.
Dern? Why?
She's got a lot of weapons, man. She's got long arms. She's got a hard body type to fight. She's top heavy and has grappling. It's a hard body type to fight. It's going to take somebody with really good striking and good takedown defense, or just a really good top game.
Got it. And then they announced that Nunez is fighting Megan Anderson. I like Megan, but I think Nunez has more weapons. She's just good everywhere.
I don't see her being able to stop the wrestling, the takedowns. Dude, she took down, what's it called? She took down Valentina, man. I was so pissed because I was hyping Valentina so hard to everybody in this one bar the first time they fought. I was like, yeah, dude, Valentina's the shit, bro. She's going to come over and fuck everybody up. And then fucking Amanda took her down with that leg trip, thing, that little leg lasso, fucking ate her. Just, God damn it.
Yeah. By the way, being Hawaii, I know you're a BJ Penn fan. I like BJ Penn. He came to my show a couple months ago. How's he doing? You talked to him? How's he doing?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a while. I would hope that he's doing good. Probably just chilling. I don't know. Didn't he move? Isn't he in California? They seem to move him to California every now and then, just change up the scenery.
I don't know. I think I'd be good for him. I think he's the king of Hawaii, right? Isn't he
So I went to his gym and trained. They run an entire island basically in Hilo. The big island, they're the mayors of Hilo. They own a ton of property and they have a street with all their houses on a hill and it's all super nice houses. They have all these it's crazy. They're going to make one of the houses like a BJ Penn museum, I think. His mom was telling me that one time when I went up there. I was like, oh, what?
A BJ Penn museum? Wow.
They have all the fight. Dude, they have all this like every house, or I only went into two of the houses though, but they all have fight memorabilia and shorts, and there's random sprawl, tons of sprawl shorts just still in the packages and like fight gloves everywhere. Just yeah, dude, it's crazy.
That's awesome. Good, man. I want to go to the BJ Penn Museum. Sounds like a fun time. Field trip. Sean, what are you doing, Sean, right now?
What am I doing?
I feel like you're a 4-day bender. Every time we do a podcast, by the last 5 minutes, it's like an intervention. I feel like people are going
to I've been holding my phone this entire time because I couldn't find my mic stand. So my arms are falling asleep as I'm holding my phone to keep it steady. So. Yeah, that's why I was late getting on the podcast. I don't know what happened to I think my girlfriend moved it. Can't find my mic stand anywhere, so I've just been holding my phone this whole time. So.
All right, well, we're going to wrap up. Lewis, who do you want to fight next?
I have no idea. I haven't even done anything. I've done no research. I've been doing financial stuff for like the past 3 days because the end of the fiscal year is coming and I am trying to be smart about my finances.
Who are you? What's going on? This the old Louis Foca was crazy. You were like you partying and running around with, like it was crazy. It was madness. Now your fiscal year.
Yeah, what? Bro. Like I don't know. I don't know what it's actually called, but I know that I have until like January 15th to like do some things.
Good.
Make some contributions to my Roth IRA.
By the way, I asked you about that bump box. You know, and I know that you like I got one from my gym. It is amazing. That is the you turn me out of this thing called the bump box. I'm not even gonna get paid for this. It's like a radio. It's like an old school radio, and it looks fly as hell. And that's how old school. Look right here. This thing is so loud. So
bro, it's got a sub in the back. Like look at this. It has a sub built in.
I'm telling you, that is what the best what I made. It's like $200. And just like even my neighbors can hear it. Then you also have like, don't you have some kind of bakery or you deliver kind of, your wife has
a. Yeah, my wife makes cookies, dude. She based like, so we live in Orange County right now and it's very bougie out here. You know what I mean? It's all about status. So she designs like decorative sugar cookies for like kids parties for like rich people.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yep.
And they pay her like a pretty good amount to like to make art for them for their kids parties.
Wow. Well, all right. That's cool. Now, do you guys live out to LA to Hollywood or no?
Like we went a couple of times, but I'm not trying to sit in that traffic. That shit sucks.
Yes.
Got it. And then what is this crush energy that you have? Is that like bangs? Like are you guys like going up?
Bro, I don't even know, dude. It's like, I don't know. It's like USADA unapproved, unofficial. Like they got like meth in here. Like, I don't know, dude.
But you actually drink it?
No, I haven't even drank this one. That's what they were telling me. They're like, don't drink it. Just take the picture. Like, don't drink it. I was like, oh, fuck.
That's wow. Always good when they tell you don't consume our product, just promote it.
Now it says
miscommunication. You know that's the fire right there. You know you drink that stuff and you like see sounds.
Now it says mystery flavor.
Yep.
So you don't even know what flavor it is.
I have no idea, dude. I just liked it because the can was white. I was like, yeah, sure. I got some clothes that match this.
That's hilarious. Well, because I see you all the time. And you have like CBD as well, right?
Yeah, I have like Miss Mary Jane's. It's around here somewhere. But yeah, like yeah, they have some good drink mix, dude. That's what I drink before my fights because I get real nervous, and like I start getting scared and stuff. My heart rate starts like I'll wake up fight day and I feel like my heart is doing this, and so I'll take the drink mix and I'll like it's not perfect, but I'm like okay, I can survive now.
Got it.
Like my heart rate slows down almost instantly.
I love it. Well, listen, Sean, I don't want you to fucking have a seizure here. All right, Miss Mary Jane, like it. So,
I was just thinking earlier, yes, real quick before you end this, I was thinking, you know, you were asking what happened to Luis, you know, like he used to be wild, this and that. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes in life, man, it's funny. You get a little bit older, you get married, you have kids, you find out your dad's a 5 or 6 instead of a 9 or 10, like you thought your whole life, and then you start to change. So I was thinking for the last 5 minutes.
You're like, bro, these good looks aren't forever, man. Like, oh, dude, life comes at you quick. You start having to make some long-term decisions.
Right.
I'm with it. All right, Weendog, what do you have coming up?
Come follow my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/wingdog. By the way, people just come to my stream just to talk about how much they love Sean McCorkle. It's hilarious. They say he's the funniest guy alive.
Yes.
Dead serious.
He is the funniest guy. McCorkle, what do you have coming up?
I'm going to try not to shoot any more meth heads at my property and going to try to install a iron gate with zero experience, like an electronic iron gate, because the lady I called to do it made me mad because she answered the phone, hello. And acted like I was the idiot, like hello. I'm like, you guys install gates? Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then it was just really weird. So I decided I'm gonna do it myself. I'm sure it'll turn out wonderful.
Smoker, what do you have coming up? Anything you want to promote?
No, man. I promote myself, my Twitch stream, I guess. Come see me, Last Samurai UFC on Twitch. I will have that up and running probably within the next day or two.
Got it. And next week on the UFC Fight Pass, my comedy special comes out. So make sure you watch.
Oh, that's right.
I have an hour stand-up comedy special on UFC Fight Pass.
make sure you guys watch it. Lewis, please watch that cringe-ass Henry video just to make you annoyed.
All right, I'll retweet it. I'll go on Twitter. I'll retweet it right now. I'll do it right now.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys. You guys are the best.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, brother. Take care.